And search for the Superhuman channel and get started today.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is our 1826th show. Can you believe that? That's amazing. And today is a special show. Not only because I'm going to be spending time with my good friend and co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini, in a second, the Supplement Santa. And not because I'm going to have my news director, Alex Leaf, on for the second segment to talk about the benefits of going gluten-free, even if you do not suffer from celiac disease. But the third interview today with Dr. Maria Backus, I feel vindicated. For years, I have been telling people that a colonoscopy as a routine test is a bad idea. And now a major North American health agency agrees with me that routine screening for colorectal cancer using a colonoscopy is a bad idea. There are better ways to do it. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
We have an equally important discussion today with Dr. Jeff. How are you doing, Dr. J?
I'm doing good. How about you, Carl?
Fantastic, fantastic. And so today's topic is quite serious, actually. Not about building bigger calves and muscles, but really about heart health and heart health myths, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's probably one of the most important things that we need to think about, you know. A lot of times we think that we can just run down to Radio Shack and get a few replacement parts when things wear out, but the heart is one of those things that you don't want to mess with.
In fact, the number one reason that people die every year is heart failure or heart disease-related issues. Quite frankly, if you did everything perfectly right, if you harnessed every anti-aging method in the world, if you extended your life to 120, 130, 140, the way you would die, absolutely, is your heart would just stop beating. So right. the heart is the core of longevity. If you don't take care of it, you are going to shorten your life.
Absolutely. You know, part of what I wanted to talk to, about today, you know, besides just the heart, is there are a lot of things out there called myths that, you know, we've heard, and we just want to kind of bust those myths and discuss those and give people good direction to how to take care of their heart.
Okay, so what's myth number one, Dr. J?
So myth number one is, this was well thought throughout the medical profession, that reducing homocysteine levels can protect against heart disease. So there were a lot of studies done back in the 60s, and essentially inflammation was the primary cause. This is what these studies revealed. Primary cause of arteriosclerosis, disease of the arteries marked by the formation of plaque, and that elevated homocysteine with inflammation. Now, other studies also identified homocysteine as a strong predictor of cardiovascular disease. But now we're showing that may not necessarily be true. You know, it may not be a good indicator. So one of the recommendations is, you know, well, what do we do? Well, my theory is, since the jury is kind of out on that, you know, why take any precautions, or why take chances? There's some very easy things you can do to help with those homocysteine levels, and those are just by adding B6, B12, and B12 to folic acid to your supplement regimen.
Yeah. Now, guess where you can get all of those and more? VitaDrive.
Oh, yeah. VitaDrive.
Well, I know you weren't looking to plug that today, but it's the truth. I mean, VitaDrive has a complex of Bs in it that it covers all those bases.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that we talk about. You know, kind of the shotgun theory is you never know what you're deficient in, so it's always good to take a good multiple, like VitaDrive, which is what I start my morning out with, to be able to get those.
But you know what else is good for homocysteine levels, Dr. J?
What's that?
Crealkaline.
Ah, yes.
Well,
that's right.
Homocysteine is produced as a byproduct of the body producing creatine. So if you supplement with crealkaline, your body doesn't have to produce creatine because you're getting it from an outside source. And when it doesn't produce creatine, it doesn't produce homocysteine.
There you go.
So there you go. There's two supplements right there to help you with your homocysteine levels. And quite frankly, why, what better place to buy them but All American Pharmaceuticals? So there you go.
Well, absolutely. So, again, you know, why take chances? You know, whether they were right in the 60s or, you know, they're saying it's not, there still is evidence that it's important. Now, here's one that I probably hear more than anything is heart disease is a guy thing. You know, I'm a woman. I don't need to worry about that. Well, here's the truth is it is the leading cause of death in women over 65.
Yes.
And kills 5 times as many women as breast cancer. I mean, that is crazy.
Do you know that women have a lower rate of heart disease until they go through menopause and they catch up? They make up all that ground that they gained over those years. After they go through menopause, the rates of heart disease go so quickly that they catch up to men.
And I think that's why they think that, because, again, you're absolutely right. You know, during that process, that's when all the risk factors essentially become relevant, where, you know, a lot of times younger women, they don't think about that. But, again, you got to be looking for the future, because there's things that you as a woman and men, we can do now. As you and I have talked about quite a bit, you know, omega-3 fatty acids are a great thing to add to your regimen.
Right.
Whether you eat a lot of fish or nuts, or you need to supplement that. There are some good things like turmeric, which has been shown to reduce inflammation, which is a big factor, you know, in heart attack and strokes. And in our buddy, vitamin D. You know, here's another good thing that it is good for. And then right. There's a couple other herbs like resveratrol and hawthornberry.
Cool.
But the omega-3s is probably the biggest one I would recommend.
Okay. What's the next myth, Dr. J?
Oh, I think I lost Carl.
Oh, can you hear me okay? Dr. J, can you hear me? Hello. What the hell is going on? Okay, here's what we're going to have to do. We are actually having some bad connection. I'm going to take a break real quick, and we're going to get Dr. J on the phone. Stay tuned. We'll be back very quickly. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 561-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. We've got Dr. Jeff on the phone now. We were having a problem with the Skype connection there. Can you hear me okay, Dr. J?
Hello?
Can you hear me okay, Dr. J?
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit there, Carl.
We have a weird connection today. I guess the technology gods are not cooperating with us today. But anyway, we can still get the message across. So
okay.
The next myth that you wanted to bust, I think, was about regular exercise, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've been told that in order to prevent heart attacks, that you've got to do very vigorous, strenuous exercise. You've got to get your heart rate up to, you know, 190. You've got to sweat. Well, you know, earlier studies suggested that, you know, high-intensity workouts several times a week were necessary, but we're now seeing studies come back saying that 30 minutes of moderate exercise, such as a brisk walk, you know, 5 to 7 days a week, can improve your heart health. So, you know, again, the point is, that's great if you like to run, you like to get on those Stairmasters where you get your heart rate up, but for those who can't do that or are afraid of doing it or don't have the time, you know, something as good as just getting out and going for a walk or getting on a treadmill, a stationary bike where you and I could be sitting next to each other and have a comfortable conversation while we're doing our cardio, is really good enough, you know, to kind of improve your heart health.
In fact, I'm sure that you saw this study when you were doing your research for this this episode. But about 6 or 7 years ago, there was a research paper that was written that showed that 30 minutes of cardio in the morning will reduce your risk of having a heart attack that day by 70%.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, people buy insurance. They do things, all sorts of things, you know. I mean, just 30 minutes in the morning and 70% reduction in heart attack risk for the rest of the day. What's more immediate than that?
Yeah, no kidding. So let's, you know, again, for a lot of us who are athletes, we already exercise every day. But for those of you who, you know, don't exercise regularly, I mean, this is something that's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to buy something. You just go outside and go for a walk. And if it's wintertime, just bundle up a little bit or go shovel some snow, yeah. Like we do here.
Yeah, right, like you do in Montana for cardio. What about cholesterol? That's a big myth out there nowadays. Have you discovered anything new about cholesterol?
You know, nothing new, but, you know, most people are unfamiliar with kind of what cholesterol is. They just hear cholesterol and they go, oh, the lower the cholesterol, the better. Well, that's not necessarily true. You got to look at when you go in and you have a cholesterol test, that is total cholesterol, and it's made up of two different types, LDL, which is what we call the bad cholesterol, and HDL, which is what we call the good cholesterol. So, yeah, we want the LDL to be a little bit lower, but we want the HDL, the good stuff, to be higher. But even looking at more specifically at the LDL, there are two different particle sizes. There are small particle size, which are very dense, and these are the ones that are very dangerous. These are the ones that adhere to all the artery walls. The larger ones, they're fluffy, they're big, they really don't cause a lot of issue. So we want to really lower the small particle size and not be so worried about the larger particle size. Now, you can go to your doctor and you can ask for a test. This isn't normally done. Again, they usually do total cholesterol. You get your LDL and your HDL, but you can ask for a low-density lipoprotein particle test, and this will actually give you the percentages of the small and the larger ones. So, again, you want to get those larger ones down.
Are there any ways to reduce the bad ones more effectively? I know niacin is one of the things that people look to. There's also some polyphenols out there. Anything you've discovered or any suggestions you have?
Yeah, and this is kind of, you wouldn't think, you would say, oh, don't eat any fats, but actually research is showing that by lowering our intake of sugars and carbohydrates, and I'm talking about processed sugars, right. You know that was good, right?
Right, right.
Your refined sugars and your processed carbohydrates, this will actually decrease the number of small, dense LDL particles. So it doesn't have anything to do with ingesting fat. It has to do with processed sugars and refined carbohydrates.
And this is something I've been saying for years on the show. I have lots of friends who will tell me they have high cholesterol. They've cut all the fat out of their diet. The cholesterol is not going down, so the doctor wants to put them on meds. And sometimes I think to myself, surely the doctors realize that triglycerides have a glucose component to them. And surely the doctors realize if you want to lower triglycerides, you must lower the sugar content that's being dietary intake of the person, not the fat. But yet doctors regularly tell their patients, your cholesterol's high, I want you to cut out all the fat and cholesterol that you're consuming in your diet. And these people do it. And they get their fat down to insanely low levels. They go back to the doctor and the doctor goes, your cholesterol is higher than ever. Why? Because they've reduced the fat intake and they've upped their carbohydrate intake dramatically. And so the doctor says, well, you just are genetically predisposed to high cholesterol. We've got to put you on a statin drug. This is a complete lie. This is like telling somebody who comes into your gas station, the engine won't start. And you know that it's because they're running out of gas. And you tell them, look, whatever you do, don't put any gas in your car because that's going to mess it up even more. And then 2 weeks later, they call you and say, my car is stuck. It won't even start now. And you go, oh, I've got to replace the engine now. So you actually tricked them into thinking they had a problem by telling them the remedy was not to put gas in the car. By telling the patient not to eat fat, they're going to eat more carbs. By doing that, their bad cholesterol is going to go through the roof. And then you're going to put them on statin drugs.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the discouraging things is, you know, we rely on our medical profession and, you know, they are brilliant people, but a lot of times they got these myths, these things that they've developed, and yeah, you know, eating a lot of fatty foods, is going to raise your cholesterol level, but that should be secondary. They should be recommending lowering those sugars or getting rid of those refined sugars. They know that. I mean, they need to go back to, you know, med school first year where they were taught all this stuff, you know.
What? So did you see the news yesterday about lung cancer? Lung cancer is the number one killer of patients with cancer, okay? More people die of lung cancer than prostate cancer or any other type of cancer, okay? Colorectal cancer, anything. Lung cancer kills people very quickly. Did you see the research yesterday that broke that was on the mainstream media about the linkage between sugar and lung cancer?
No, I did not.
So they're saying there was a really good study done. I don't know who did it. I haven't looked into it yet. We're probably talking about it on Friday on the show. That shows a direct linkage between people with high sugar intake, and we're talking about starches too, potatoes, pasta, bread. I mean, they implicated bread in this study. And the progression, development and progression of lung cancer. And what they said was, the reason is because when insulin goes up, growth factors go up, and growth factors feed cancers, But they missed the truth in all this. We have been talking about the linkage between cancer development and progression and high sugar intake and insulin resistance for a long time on this show.
Right.
We've talked about how the mitochondria undergoes anaerobic respiration at some point in time, and this is when the cell becomes cancerous. This is when all the changes occur in the cell. The only way this happens is in the environment of an abundance of blood sugar. The reason that more people are having all types of cancers today is because more people are insulin resistant than ever before. This is directly related to sugar. It's not the growth factors. I'm sorry. If growth right. factors cause cancer, then a baby would get cancer because a baby is a growth factor party happening.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, one thing I wanted to say is make sure you're listening. We're not saying go on a zero-carbohydrate diet. What we're trying to say, when we're talking about sugars and refined carbohydrates, come on, donuts, you know, pure sugar.
Right.
Candy, sweets, this is all the refined stuff. We're not right. talking about good quality carbohydrates. Those are important for health and a balanced diet. We're talking about sugar and not, you know, honey sugar.
Well, but let's also talk about the state of the being. So if you're using a high glycemic carbohydrate in and around your workout, that's one thing. You're burning it right. off. You're not
right.
you're not raising blood sugar levels to 180 nanograms a liter and then sitting down and watching the evening news an hour before bed.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine doing that?
Yes, I did. I did that for a period of my life. That's how I got to be 330 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I've been there. I had high blood sugar. I had dyslipidemia. I had a heart problem. I know what it's like. And so, yes, there's a difference between you using a glucose supplement or a carbohydrate supplement in and around your workout because you're burning it off. It's not lingering in the body going, oh, no, right. what do we do with all this sugar now? This guy's not even moving.
Right.
So it depends on your status of activity as well. There are people out there who can eat high glycemic carbohydrates and not, and they can fare well because they're so active. They're moving all the time.
Yep, yep.
So it makes a big difference. Any other myths about heart disease you want to talk about, Dr. Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I think I want to kind of round it up with this saturated fat. You know, again, we've heard that saturated fats cause heart disease. Well, it's a bit more complex than that. So what I wanted to recommend, again, you know, don't go out there and just, you know, cut out all saturated fats because somebody told you that or your doctor, like we talked about, said, oh, get rid of all your saturated fats. Don't eat red meat. Causes heart disease. A balance is what is important. I call it the you diet, which means what works for you. So you've got to figure out what a good balance is. You know, is it detrimental to eat, you know, high amounts of saturated fat every hour throughout the day, 7 days a week? Yeah. But do you need to cut them all out? Absolutely not, because some of them are important, again, for energy, for keeping your body going. So, again, moderation is really the key when it comes to any types of fats coming from meats and things. Now, I always do recommend, you know, processed foods, you know, fried foods on a regular basis. That is not a good way to get in your protein sources.
And the reality is that if you're eating a diet comprised of non-processed foods, things that grow out of the ground or animals, that you have a relationship with your farmer, at least know where the animal protein is coming from, you're going to be fine. It's when you start yep. getting in. You know, we were at the Arnold the other day, and I'm not going to mention who it is, but we were at a top manufacturer of protein powder, a big name, a name that's in Walmart, a name that's in the big box stores, a name that's in Kroger's. I looked at one of their products, and it had hydrogenated oil in it, partially hydrogenated oil in it. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought we've learned that that stuff's no good for us, number one. And what is that doing in a quote-unquote health food product?
Yeah, you know, good point. We could go on for hours.
You
about
have not.
That
you, I mean, you're speechless, right? You're speechless.
I am because I know we've only got a few minutes left, and I don't want to start ranting about supplement companies not knowing what they're doing. But you know, I am going to say something. It's because it isn't any longer about the quality of the protein. It's about we've got to use everything that the processed food guys use to make it taste good. So if ours tastes better, it has more mouthfeel, people are going to want to buy it. And don't be deceived about taste. Look at the labels, you know, because there are processed supplements the same way there are processed foods. And when they start adding all of that junk, thickeners and hydrogenated oils and things to your protein powder, you are no longer taking a real dietary supplement. You're just taking a processed powder that's being marketed as a dietary supplement.
That's actually a really good point because most protein powder products live and die on their approach to taste. You know, so many of them say best tasting protein powder voted by this and voted by that. Who cares if it tastes great? If it's basically a Trojan horse to get you to consume bad stuff, but they make it taste good. That's just silliness. And anybody who buys a protein powder exclusively because it tastes good, you're missing the mark. You're missing the whole reason you're taking protein powder.
And especially if you are a bodybuilder, you're in the fitness because, you know, I hear us talking all the time that, oh, we don't care about taste. It's about the quality of our food.
Right.
Well, if we go out and we spend all this money on prepping our foods and then we're using these proteins for two or three meals a day, why even worry about these quality foods?
That's a really good point. It's true because most people say, oh, yeah. I don't care about flavor. Food is fuel. But then I go out and buy this, quote unquote, the best tasting protein powder in the world, and it's loaded with junk.
I mean, well, we're going to talk next week about Thrive Protein, and I think, you know, again, just to not to pitch, but, you know, that's one of the reasons why we developed Thrive is to give somebody an all-natural approach to eating quality. Again, you know, whether you drink it, you eat it, you chew it, candy bars, protein bars, they should be quality. You know, don't sacrifice because you think that there is no other alternative because they are the guy in the Walmart and Costco stores. No, you know, go to quality, and you should, everything that you do should always be quality. Because again, your heart, your body depends on it. You can't just run down to Radio Shack and get a replacement part.
I know.
And guaranteed, you will have some issues from drinking these proteins that taste great.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, Dr. J, thank you for today's show, brother.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Talk to you later. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our news director, Alex Leaf, to talk about even if you don't have celiac disease, could you benefit from eliminating gluten from your diet? Is there evidence to suggest that? Stay tuned.
Not a properly used carbohydrate to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrate from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
leave.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin. MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle Bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do so many protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Find out why. Go to Thrive Protein, THRIVProtein.com. If you like what you see, use coupon code THRIVELIFE, THRIVLIFE, all one word, and save 50% off the suggested retail price of Thrive Advanced. Okay, so really you can't go anywhere without talking about gluten today. If you go out to a restaurant, they let you know that the water is gluten-free. The cornflakes are gluten-free. Everything about gluten is become a marketing trend. But is this a scam? Physicians will tell you that if you don't have celiac disease, don't worry about gluten. But is that the truth? My next guest is our news director, Alex Leaf. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well, Carl.
So there was a new study published about this, right?
Correct.
So what was the study trying to elucidate?
So the study was a multi-center study that was conducted out of 15 gastroenterological outpatient centers across Italy. And its main objective was to establish if non-celiac, like what is the prevalence of non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So up until 2012, there were two main diseases in which gluten was involved. There's a wheat allergy, and then there's celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have an immune component in the intestinal cells. It's just how that immune component plays out is different between the two. But with the increasing popularity of the paleo diet and gluten-free diets in general, you started getting a lot of anecdotal reports about people eliminating gluten, and suddenly their brain fog disappears, their bloating disappears. All the symptoms seem to disappear. And in 2012, it was firmly established that a condition called non-celiac gluten sensitivity was real. The only problem is, despite it being an established condition, the only diagnostic criteria was the elimination of celiac or wheat allergy as potential explanations and a favorable response to a gluten-free diet.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that lacks specificity towards gluten itself, and people can also be prone to the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very lax criteria. It's like, okay, you're not celiac, you don't have a wheat allergy, but you do good on a gluten-free diet. Maybe you have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. And that's what these researchers were trying to figure out, is how many of those people who fit that criteria actually have non-celiac gluten sensitivity.
But how would you determine that just from feeding somebody a specific diet and they have no symptoms? It could be a lot of things. I mean, the problem with this is when you eat wheat, there are so many other things inherently involved in the digestion of wheat besides just the gluten proteins that could potentially be causing problems, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's the whole issue with FODMAPs, where people are sensitive to the fermentable carbohydrates in wheat. And oftentimes when people go gluten-free, they just eliminate bread entirely, which gets rid of that issue. There's other individuals who might just switch to other gluten-free breads and continue with the FODMAP issue, which is why they might not see a benefit. Then you have issues with the type of wheat. Maybe that plays a role. You have pesticide exposure. Some people do good with organic wheat versus conventional because maybe it's pesticides
mm-hmm.
that are causing the issue. So there's a whole host of factors that isn't necessarily the gluten. But again, acknowledging that, these researchers in Italy, their goal was to figure out, okay, we know people do well on a gluten-free diet for whatever reason, but how many of those people is it actually because of the gluten? And that's what they wanted to find out.
Okay, one other question. We hear this discussion here in the United States that somehow strains of wheat that we have hybridized and selected for production wheat to make bread and so on, they have somehow changed over the past, I don't know, hundreds of years or whatever. Mm-hmm. What about in Italy? Do we have another issue with looking at the results of this, that maybe the wheat is different, you know, that they grow there versus the wheat that we grow here?
That's definitely another confounding variable. I don't know anything about the type of wheat used in Italy or their growing practices.
Right.
I can look it up over the next break, but that's definitely something that needs to be considered when you want to translate this study's findings to any other country, especially the U.S., because the U.S. is pretty different from the European Union when it comes to agriculture.
Oh, man, you're not kidding.
So, definitely a huge confounding variable there.
So, okay, so what did they do and what did they discover?
So the study was a two-phase study. And in phase one, they recruited 140 individuals who were routinely attending the 15 outpatient clinics for gastroenterological symptoms. And they recruited these 140 individuals. They made sure none of them had a wheat allergy, none of them had celiac, none of them had inflammatory bowel disease or Crohn's disease or anything like that. These were all healthy individuals who were eating gluten. They were on a gluten-containing diet, and they were complaining about various intestinal symptoms like bloating, gas, cramping, whatever, and extra intestinal symptoms. This includes headaches, mental fog, fatigue, joint aches, stuff that isn't related to the gut. And they recruited these 140 individuals, and they forced them to eat a entirely gluten-free diet for 3 weeks. And that was phase one, is because they needed to see how many of them responded favorably to a gluten-free diet, and it was those individuals who moved on to the phase two of the study.
Now, in the gluten-free diet, were they allowed to eat gluten substitute, wheat substitutes like rice and tapioca flour produced products, which obviously don't have
gluten? Yes.
So they were. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the study didn't do any dietary data collection, so we don't know what the participants were eating specifically and what they replaced the gluten-containing products with. But they were, you know, at the word of the at the word of themselves, they did all say, hey, we were gluten-free, except for, I want to say, 6 patients who decided it was a good idea to break being gluten-free for social commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were excluded from further analysis.
Okay. Okay. So what did they discover in the group that made it through the 3-week gluten-free diet regimen? They became asymptomatic, whatever it was that was bothering them started to go away?
Yeah. It's notable that 75% of the people who were complaining about symptoms responded favorably to a gluten-free diet, showing a minimum improvement, minimum, of 75% in global well-being. And so that just strikes me, because immediately it tells me, look, regardless of the cause, if you feel like crap and you're eating gluten, just try going on a gluten-free diet.
Right.
We can figure out the cause later down the road, but it has a really high chance, a 75% chance of making you feel better. And, I mean, why? What reason is there to not do that? Especially considering there's nothing essential about gluten-containing products. They don't offer anything unique to the diet or our health.
Well, if you listen to the morning news shows like GMA and so on, their experts come on and say, do not exclude wheat from your diet because it's a great source of heart-healthy this and heart-healthy that. You know, which is, when I hear that, I think to myself, you know, this is just nonsense. Like, what you can get that heart-healthy, whatever it is that you're talking about is in wheat, and something else.
Yeah, humans are adaptable. There is literally no food in our diet that cannot be replaced with something else.
Right, right. Okay, so after they succeeded at this 3-week point, we're going to take a break, and let's talk about what the next phase of this research was. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, so stay tuned. We're going to get deeper into this. You know, just because I've been eating a ketogenic diet, a 2-to-1 fat to protein, I am not eating bread, pasta, anything, and I haven't in a long time, but I've cut all types of carbohydrates out that could have this FODMAP issue, which I want to talk about later as well, because this may be an indictment on a lot of different carbohydrates that we eat today, not just gluten. So stay tuned.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can see eye drops. The name says it all.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep? Oh, no. It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep. naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Hello.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we're going to talk about a major North American healthcare agency has come forth and said, stop doing all these routine colonoscopies. I've been saying this for years on the show, and now I'm being vindicated. I love shows like this. Right now we're talking with my news director, Alex Leaf. We're talking about the role of gluten in a variety of different symptoms, and whether or not some people who don't have celiac disease would actually benefit from eliminating gluten from their diet. Okay, so when we're going into the break, Alex, you said the first leg of this research was the individuals had to last 3 weeks on a gluten-free diet. And in fact, a lot of their symptoms had subsided that they were complaining about because they were already being seen by clinics for some GI issues. And the brain fog and the joint pain, I have to imagine, went away as well, right?
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that for the people who experience symptomatic benefits, overall their global satisfaction being gluten-free increased relative to eating a diet that contains gluten. It increased more than twofold, by 236%. But even the individuals who didn't show symptomatic benefit, their global satisfaction still increased by 36%, and that was statistically significant. So overall, every participant was happier eating gluten-free for whatever reason versus eating a diet containing gluten. And I think that that's another notable takeaway, is every participant felt better. The reasons varied, and clearly those who showed reductions in their symptoms felt even better, but those who didn't still felt better.
So, I mean, you heard what I said going into the break. This may just be an indictment against wheat consumption in general. You know, regardless of why gluten, not gluten, FODMAPs, not FODMAPs, something else that we haven't learned about yet, it sounds to me like at least the wheat produced today doesn't agree with people.
Yeah. I mean, so far in the study, that is a very solid takeaway.
Okay, so what was the second leg of the research?
Okay, so phase two, they took all of the individuals, which was 98 in total, who responded favorably to being gluten-free, and for another 3 weeks, they had them continue to be gluten-free. However, during this three-week period, they, in a random and crossover or design, a randomized crossover design, meaning all the patients did both interventions, they had, for 1 week, they had half of the patients consume capsules daily that contained gluten, and another half consume capsules that contained rice flour, which is completely benign.
Right.
And then all the participants did a 1 week washout period, so they didn't consume any capsules and they were still eating gluten-free for 1 week. And then they switched and did the other intervention, either the gluten or the rice capsule, for the third 1 week period. And the amount of gluten that they had to consume every day across these capsules was 5.6 grams. Which is equivalent to just under 3 ounces of pasta, or about 3 slices of bread per day. So this is when you just consider how much gluten and how much bread products a standard individual might eat in a day. This is a very small amount of gluten.
Right, right.
And this needs to be acknowledged because whatever the outcome is, it could be that the outcome would be different with more gluten in the diet or less, because it's very likely that everyone has an individual threshold level.
Right.
And so that's a limitation that needs to be remembered. The other thing that needs to be acknowledged is in order to maintain the blinding of the participants, the capsules were used and they were identical. But when people eat gluten, they don't eat capsules full of gluten. You know, they eat bread, whatever. So it may be that the digestive processes and delivery methods for the capsules versus a whole food is different, and that may also play a role in how gluten affects someone.
Right.
So those are two limitations that need to be acknowledged. But, you know, no study's perfect, and this was a pretty solid design for what it was trying to do.
Right.
And so what they did is they took, they had people fill out their symptomatic questionnaires before and after each of these interventions. And ultimately they plotted each individual on a graph that divided their response when they were consuming the placebo to their response when they were consuming gluten. And what this allows them to do is it allows you to see how many participants had a true gluten effect and how many had a placebo effect.
Right, right.
Because if
they didn't know whether they were getting the gluten or not.
Yeah, and if you divide the scores on the symptoms by the placebo scores by the gluten score and you get like a value of 1, then you know that they responded identically to both a placebo and a gluten, which indicates that they probably aren't responsive to gluten. On the other hand, you might have people who respond way higher with placebo than they do with gluten, which indicates a clear placebo effect, and other individuals would only respond to the gluten and not the placebo pills, which would indicate an effect of gluten.
Right.
And so overall, they found that when you look at the group as a whole, gluten did lead to a statistically significant worsening of symptoms. However, only about 28 of the 98 patients showed a specific effect to gluten that was pronounced enough to where to where we could confidently say, yeah, it was a gluten that was causing this.
Right.
However, 14 patients also showed that same magnitude of effect when they consumed the placebo capsules, meaning that 14 of the participants were responding to the capsules regardless of what they contained. And I know that this sounds kind of confusing. If you go look at the blog post, there's a beautiful image that explains it a little better. But ultimately, the bottom line is that when you exclude the placebo effect, you're left with 14% being the number that show a reaction specifically to gluten. And this included reductions in both physical and mental quality of life and a return of almost all the symptoms that were reduced upon eliminating wheat. However, there weren't any correlations that could be found. There was no demographic information, no clinical blood chemistry information, no biochemical factors that were associated with the degree of response to gluten. So this led the researchers to basically say, okay, so we, based on our study, we can say that 14% of individuals may actually have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Out of all the individuals who respond favorably to a gluten-free diet, only 14% is it actually because of gluten. But there isn't any criteria that we could find that would, you know, give an indication of who these people might be.
So, do you have any theory? Well, we have to take a break. Do you have any theories why there was such a high, what could only be considered a placebo effect, but maybe was there something else going on here that we're not looking into? Like you pointed out, the placebo had, did you say rice powder in it?
Yeah, rice flour.
Rice flour. So, could it be could there be something in rice that's also in wheat, that we're not accounting for when we're just looking at the endpoint of gluten being the cause of something? Let's take a break and let's pick that up on the other side. Stay tuned.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated, practitioner approved.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at Wise Choice Medicine. Or call call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now. Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Alex Leaf, the news director here at superhumanradio.com, about the effects of eliminating not just gluten, but appears wheat from the diet and the beneficial effects it has on people. So what do you think? I mean, 14% is impressive, but it's not fantastic. What was going on with the people who were experiencing a reduction in their symptoms when they were taking rice flour?
It's a classic example of the placebo effect. Rice flour was chosen specifically because it's so benign. It's pure starch. It has absolutely no fiber. I mean, it's literally just starch.
Right.
And it's been used in clinical research as a placebo countless times. So, while it's true, we can't rule out the possibility that there wasn't something in it that someone might have reacted to. Statistically speaking, it's incredibly improbable that right. that was the case.
Right.
More likely, it's that the participants had to take capsules, and mentally, you know, they didn't know if it was gluten or not, so in their head, they're taking capsules, and their symptoms return. Because you know, apparently there is a strong psychological component to symptoms when you're on a certain type of diet. And we know this. We know that the mind can influence your health profoundly. And so it's not unreasonable to assume that a lot of individuals, in this case 14%, who go on a gluten-free diet or who eliminate gluten, might feel a benefit simply because they think that they're improving their health, they're benefiting themselves somehow, even if they actually aren't. But the fact that that's their thought process leads to their desired outcome.
That's amazing that people could actually heal themselves if they believe they can heal themselves. You know what I'm saying?
The placebo effect is certainly an underappreciated phenomenon, but at the same time, it's problematic because let's say it's not just going gluten free. Let's say there's some other extreme example where someone does something and they benefit simply from a placebo effect. But by doing this thing, they might negatively impact another aspect of their health down the road. And that's where the placebo effect can become detrimental, because it's like, look, this is going to hurt you down the road, but, and you're only benefiting now because you think you're benefiting. So if we can get you to think that you'll benefit by reintroducing whatever it is you just excluded, and then that will not only mitigate your current symptoms, but it'll mitigate the potential down the road harm. And so that's why the placebo effect isn't generally looked upon with so much positive feelings, is because there is potential for it to lead to the exclusion of more clinically favorable whatever mechanisms to get the same result.
Okay,
but
so
nonetheless, okay. In conditions like this, it's still beneficial. It's like, look, if I'm going to eliminate some food from my diet and I replace it with another food so that I don't create a nutrient deficiency, then who cares if I feel better because of the actual food or the placebo effect?
Right. What about, what do you feel?
Anyway, sorry, what were you going to say? I kind of cut you off there.
No, that's okay. No, I was just going to say, so the 14% of these people, literally, can you not hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? This has happened twice today. I don't know what the problem is.
Hey, if you're talking, I can't hear you.
Okay, Alex, give me a second here. Hold on. Alex, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what the problem is, but it fixed itself. So the 14% of people who actually benefited...
You're cutting in and out.
The 14% of people who actually benefited from this. You can hear me now, right?
I can't hear you, Carl.
Jeez, what's going on? Alex, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Okay, the 14% of people that benefited from this clearly benefited from this because they did have a sensitivity to gluten, right?
You cut out again there in the last portion. I know you mentioned your mic was going to crap a couple
well, I
cha-
I changed,
time I was
I
cha- on.
I changed it, and I know the mic is working because I'm being recorded. I'm looking at my voice go down on the recorder. I don't understand what the problem is, to be honest with you. Let's just take a break. Hold on. We'll be right back.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing. Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com. Quest.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
All right, we'll try this now. Alex, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the 14% that did respond, they clearly had a gluten sensitivity, right?
Yes.
So is that significant to you? Do you think that's a big deal, 14% of them? That doesn't seem very significant to me, out of all these people who had symptoms go away when they went on a gluten-free diet.
Yeah, you know, it's important to remember that of the people who had symptoms go away on a gluten-free diet, if we do, out of everyone who participated in the study, it's only 10%. I do think it's significant. Because it establishes that, it further establishes that non-celiac gluten sensitivity is a third disease in addition to celiac and a wheat allergy, where individuals have an actual issue with gluten. And so I do think it's important in that regard. But in the grand scheme of things, When you're looking at the health effects of simply going gluten-free, I don't think that it's significant in that it doesn't really matter. We said it earlier and I'll say it again. 75% of people showed symptomatic benefits going gluten-free, and everyone in both those who showed symptomatic benefits and those who didn't showed an improvement in their satisfaction on being gluten-free compared to eating gluten. And so I think this speaks a lot more to the health effects of going gluten-free regardless of the cause. Now, could it be due to pesticides? Sure. Could it be due to FODMAP? Sure. Could it be due to a million other things? Sure. But the bottom line is that you feel better being gluten-free. So why don't you stay gluten-free? And then if you're curious about what it is specifically, then you can start reintroducing certain foods and seeing what happens.
So, I mean, it sounds to me, like I said at the beginning of the interview, this sounds like an indictment on wheat. That when people cut wheat out of their diet, they just seem to feel better for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and this study, even though that wasn't the goal, the study strongly supports that. And I would be really interested to see it repeated in the United States using you know, the wheat that we have here, it would be a lot more applicable to us.
Right. Yeah. So anything else interesting about this research when you delved into it that you think is worth talking about right now?
For this specific study, no. I think that we did a really nice job of covering every nook and cranny about it and forming some solid conclusions. Since I know that we do have a little time left, I can give our listeners a little sneak peek into the blog post that will be coming out tomorrow that talks about, it's a new study on the paleo diet. And if you wanted to change gears a little bit.
Yeah, please. I'm interested.
Okay. So it's, for all the listeners out there, this study is a really big disappointment. And I never intended to write a blog post about it, but as soon as I saw it, someone shared it with me on Facebook, and as soon as I saw it, it was like I had to slap myself in the face, because it serves as a great, great example of why you need to read the full text of a study, and you can't always trust what the researchers put in the abstract. And so a group of researchers recruited 13 healthy men and women, and they wanted to see what happens when you remove them from, you know, our comfortable sedentary lifestyle, and you force them to live like our hunter-gatherer ancestors did. And so they basically took these 13 people and put them in the middle of a national park here in the U.S., and they had them live in the national park for 4 days and three nights without anything except the clothes on their back. So they didn't have shelter. You know, they had to find their own shelter. So hopefully it wasn't raining. But that was basically the experiment. Let's put them out in the wild and see what happens for 4 days and three nights, and we'll measure their body composition and their blood chemistry before and after. And what they found is that the participants lost a significant amount of weight, lost a significant amount of visceral fat, lost a significant amount of body fat. They showed a 50% reduction in their fasting insulin, a 50% reduction in their estimated insulin resistance. Their blood glucose dropped by 30%. I mean, these individuals, their metabolic health improved phenomenally. And the researchers in the abstract, they emphasize that returning to a lifestyle similar to our Paleolithic ancestors is beneficial. And that's great. The issue that I took with the study is that it wasn't, first of all, it wasn't entirely returning to our ancestral roots, because
let me guess, they were having food delivered to them and from Papa John's.
Yes.
Oh, I was joking.
The researchers provided them with food every morning and every night on the condition that none of the participants could eat before noon to ensure that they had some type of fasted activity, and they were doing intermittent fasting. And all of the foods were paleo, you know, except for things I thought was a little funny, like olive oil and butter, because clearly our ancestors ate those. But more important is the fact that these individuals were hiking 15 kilometers per day, and the researchers were only supplying them with 1,600 calories worth of food. And so immediately, in my mind, despite the researchers in their discussion of their study going on about, oh, well, you know, these findings could be explained by the intermittent fasting, by reestablishing proper circadian rhythms from being outdoors, from increased physical activity, especially while fasting, and from eating a paleo diet. These are all potential explanations.
Right.
The one thing that they overlooked is the fact that they were expending probably over 3,000 calories a day from physical and eating less than 1,600. And to me, it's like, no, this study doesn't show anything about the paleo diet. What it shows is that restricting the food intake of healthy humans and making them be super active leads to weight loss, which is associated with improvements in glucose metabolism. And we already knew that.
Right.
And so, it, you know, you'll read the blog post. I admit there are times in it where you'll be able to read a little sarcasm, and maybe in parts I'm being a little snide. I did consider going back after I had put it up and editing it to make it a little more professional, but I'm too lazy, in all honesty. But, I mean, you can understand why. Because I like the ancestral diet and what an ancestral lifestyle stands for. I think there's a lot of good to it. But I think that it's research like this that explains why the mainstream medical community can't take it seriously. And so I would rather just have this type of research not be published, because it doesn't add anything to the discussion, in my opinion. And it just suggests that these researchers are trying to be deceptive to the public who never make it past the abstract or the title.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really the specialty of science today. So most research studies, when distilled down and reduced for a press release, and then the headline is designed to pander to the most number of people, and quite often the headline really doesn't speak to the research, but something shocking, something contrary to popular wisdom that'll make more people look at the press release. And the science itself is lost nowadays in the interest of gaining more eyes on the article. It's very, very sad that's what it's come to.
Yeah.
So
that's what, you know, our listeners have to look forward to tomorrow is a tongue-in-cheek article about a recent paleo study.
I mean, this is as silly as, do you remember what Dr. Oz did a few years ago when the paleo diet really started to gain popularity amongst mainstream people? And so he took three people and locked them in the cage at a zoo and fed them like animals, you know, brought them food, and they lived in the cage, and they were supposed to be cave people. And it was so absurd, and it was so inappropriate for what the paleo diet and ancestral diet is supposed to provide. We weren't supposed to be locked in a cage. No one was supposed to be feeding us. And this idea that, you know, people try to extrapolate and make fun of ancestral diets. And quite frankly, you know, you and I have had this discussion before about eating one food at a time. Remember, we've had this discussion on the air before? You know,
yeah.
And you pointed out that when combining proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, it slows gastric emptying, and the idea that gastric, and I suggested that gastric emptying is not an ancestral gift. It's something required by a sick population, because our ancestors weren't looking for ways to slow food from digesting. They were looking to digest it quickly so they can make room for more food. And I was having a conversation with Ron Pena over from Quest at the Arnold this weekend. And I said, you know, when you really think about it, the ketogenic diet, the real ketogenic diet, high fat, high protein, very little carbohydrates, or high fat, moderate protein, very little carbohydrates, you know, 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 4-to-1, 1-to-1, depending on if you're looking to build muscle or cure cancer. There's a whole range. But fat and protein almost always occurs together and if you eat an animal carcass, you're eating fat and you're eating protein. And the reality is that the ketogenic diet probably is the real original ancestral diet, especially during 40,000 years of ice age. So the idea that I've come up with, that, you know, I have this strange feeling that when you eat one food at a time, the body processes it better, it goes through your system better, it's a more appropriate way to eat for our digestive system. I predict that in years to come, it's going to be shown that the people who separate their foods, they eat their protein, they eat the, and I know you do this to some degree, because when you train, you have your carbs by themselves, right?
Well, I do separate my food somewhat, but I've played around with it, and I find, because I train in the morning fasted, and my post-workout meal is primarily just fats and protein.
Right.
And I eat my carbohydrates during lunch and dinner. And I find that that works best for me in terms of energy throughout the day, sleep, and body composition. But I never combine fats and carbohydrates. So I don't put peanut butter on my oatmeal or do any of that stuff. It's always, if I'm having any carbohydrates and it's a carbohydrate heavy meal, then the only fat is residual from the protein I'm eating.
Right.
If I'm having a high fat meal, the only carbohydrates are residual from the nuts that I'm eating, or so it's mainly just fiber.
Right.
Or from some fibrous vegetables.
I suspect that in years to come, we're going to look at the high-fat, high-protein diet as the original ancestral diet. And I keep coming back to this nonsense that rolls around in my head, that our ancestors did not spend all day chasing down a feral hog, only to sit down next to its warm carcass and contemplate eating it. And someone would go, man, wouldn't sweet potatoes taste good with this? Yeah, let's go get some sweet potatoes. Let's go. No, they were creatures of opportunity and accessibility. And they would eat that fat and protein until it was gone, and they had to go find something else. And I really think that our digestive, so part of the problem we have today, so many people have digestion issues. I mean, gut issues are everywhere today. And I suspect that some of the problems are that some people are more sensitive to this phenomenon than others. But when you start combining foods together, it doesn't play out well for your GI tract. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I think you're definitely on to something there. Although I do want to emphasize that our ancestors did divide tasks. You know, they were hunter-gatherers. And as we discussed last time, you know, they commonly eat a lot of usually high carbohydrate foods such as berries or honey when they're out foraging, and then they have the women and children picking tubers and foraging for whatever foods they can round up for, so that they can combine foods at least for one meal later in the day.
Right.
So I wouldn't say they never combined foods, but certainly the majority of their intake was very individual, just food groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, okay, so your blog breaks tomorrow at supremeradio.com. It's this critique of this
paleo diet study.
This ought to be really good, and we'll share it around on Facebook for those of you who are friends of ours on Facebook. Alex, thank you for filling in today. Dr. Mario DePasquale was supposed to be on, but he's got laryngitis. And
ooh.
So he couldn't, yeah, I know. So we'll have him back on. I know a lot of people waiting for his dissertation on revisiting L-carnitine. It's going to be very, very interesting, and that'll probably happen next week or the week after. Alex, thanks
Excellent.
For being on the show today, brother.
Yeah, no problem. You take care.
All right, talk to you later. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Vindicating Carl. A large North American healthcare agency announces routine colonoscopies are a mistake. But you heard that here before if you've been listening to the show for any length of time. Stay tuned.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage, promote joint mobility and flexibility, replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limit.
Feel the difference with Actistatin.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Madebyhemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils, high-end CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is a monumentous occasion for me because every now and then I get vindicated for saying something. I've been saying it for a long time, and I've been called on the carpet for saying this. For years now, I've been suggesting that routine colonoscopy is a mistake, that people need to look for other alternatives as a first line of detection for colorectal cancer. And now a major North American healthcare agency, the Canadian healthcare agency. My guest is Dr. Maria Backus. She's associate professor in the Department of Medicine at University of Calgary. Welcome to the show, Dr. Backus.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
Now, I have to believe that the reason that your organization looked at this information is because of trying to contain wasteful expenditures within healthcare. Was that the real reason that you first looked at this?
Not quite. So the task force looks at screening and preventive health care. And we put out some guidelines in 2001 for screening of colorectal cancer. And since that time, there have been a lot of changes in technology and practice. And you've mentioned one of those where some people are doing colonoscopy. And our focus was really to look at the evidence and, based on this data, update the guidelines to provide recommendations on the different screening tests, screening intervals, and the recommended ages to start and stop screening asymptomatic adults age 50 and older who are not at high risk for colorectal cancer. So the goal wasn't necessarily to look at resources. It's really to look at what's the best evidence to tell Canadians that what can we do to decrease the risk of colorectal cancer, which, as you know, is a preventable cancer.
Yes.
So that was really our goal. And it just, the evidence happened to show that colonoscopy, well, it showed that there's no evidence, actually, that screening with colonoscopy decreases colorectal cancer mortality.
And that's shocking too, because that's the way it's presented. In fact, in commercials I've heard those actual words, you can prevent colorectal cancer by going for your regular colonoscopy. And I've always questioned that, because detection does not prevent. Detection can prevent the aggressive progress of a cancer, but it's not going to prevent you from having cancer, because when they go in there and they do a colonoscopy and they see a polyp, which, by the way, and you correct me if I'm wrong, polyps are like mushrooms. They grow and they recede on their own quite often. Not all polyps are going to become cancers. And so as a result of that, when they go in there and they detect a polyp and they snip it and they biopsy it and all that sort of stuff, that's not going to necessarily detect if a person has colorectal cancer, because there are chemical changes that are better targets to determine if cancer is present, right?
Well, so you raise a really important point, and one is the polyps. And you're absolutely correct in that not all polyps go on to colorectal cancers. So some people have said, well, why didn't you look at polyps as an outcome? And the reason we didn't is that we have such good literature that looks at something that's important to patients, which is colorectal cancer and dying from colorectal cancer, because that's what people care about.
Right.
And so when we looked at studies, we found lots of studies that show that these other tests, such as looking for blood in your stool, is effective in decreasing people dying from colorectal cancer. So because of that, we didn't look at studies on polyps, because they're what we would call an intermediate outcome, and we don't know if all of those ones go on to colorectal cancer. So it could be overcalling things.
Right.
What we really want to know, I think what patients want to know, when you talk to patients, is they want to know, what's the chance am I going to die from this cancer? Or what's the chance I'm going to develop colorectal cancer? And so that's what we're looking at. What can we do to prevent people from dying from colorectal cancer?
And really, to prevent them from dying from colorectal cancer, you need to have early detection, number one. And quite frankly, colonoscopy does not provide a venue for early detection. And here's why I say that. Number one, most people won't go for a colonoscopy, but they will do an at-home fecal occult test themselves. Most people will put it off for as long as they can, and it's very, very expensive. The average cost in the United States for a colonoscopy is between $1,800 and $5,400. I remember reading a Wall Street Journal article several years ago that put the cost of colonoscopies each year in the billions in this country. And the large majority of those do not detect anything. And that doesn't mean that the person doesn't develop colorectal cancer, because they're going for a colonoscopy once every so many years after 50. They could be doing a fecal occult test twice a year if they wanted to, if they were a high-risk person, right?
Right. So you raise two really important pieces that I'd like to go back to. The first is that patients don't necessarily want to do a colonoscopy. And, you know, there's a saying in screening that the best screening test is the one that gets done.
Yes.
So there's no point in recommending something that patients aren't going to do. Because the major message for your listeners, you know, in Canada and the U.S. is that this is a preventable disease, and we want people who are over the age of 50 to go talk to their doctors about screening. And it should be a test that they're going to do. So that's, you know, I'm really pleased that you brought that up, is you gotta be able to do the test.
Yeah, and now there's a new one. It's called Cologuard, which the reliability of its detection of cancer, I'm talking about cancer that's not visible to a colonoscopy, its ability to detect cancer at the earliest stages is like 90-something percent effective. And it's just a fecal occult test. You take a little bit of your fecal matter, you rub it on a Wattman blotter, fold it up, you send it in, they test it. I mean, that's the easiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really important when you look at patients and what they choose. We know that things that are easy for them to do that they're going to finish and do is really important to them. And so you're talking, and Cologuard is looking for DNA in the stool. Mm-hmm. And then what it's looking for is cancer cells, gene changes found in the stool. And then I think it's a very promising promising test, I should say.
Yes.
You were correct, is that we have some literature that says it's very good at detecting colorectal cancers. We still need further studies, and the company knows this, and there are ongoing studies to look and see, if you do this test, does it decrease the chance of you dying from cancer? So I think it's one of the promising things that we're looking for. When we did our guideline, we looked at the evidence on Cologuard or fecal DNA testing, and at this point in time, there aren't enough studies that we can come up with a recommendation for that. But once they become available, we'll absolutely look at that.
Now, the other thing that needs to be discussed is that doctors refuse to do a fecal occult test. They want their patients to go for a colonoscopy. I have had this experience myself with a doctor, as well as Elisa Profumo, who does my Friday show. Everybody knows who she is in the audience. No, we don't do that. We only do colonoscopy. This is a problem, too, because doctors are not offering their patients everything that's available as a diagnostic tool. And and as you point out, you know, the fecal occult test has been around for a long time. It looks for blood in the stool. It's a great way. It's a first. Then you go in and you do a colonoscopy. If you find blood in the stool, you go, oh, something's wrong here. Now we need to put eyes on the inside of you. We need to see. Doctors won't offer that. What's the problem with doctors offering that?
Yeah, that's really interesting that you say that, and I'd be interesting to hear your thoughts about the American experience. I can tell you in Canada that we've had studies that look at Canadians and what they prefer to have done, and we know that they tell us that we want a test that's less painful, and you know, clearly a colonoscopy is going to be more painful, it requires not a lot of preparation, and is not invasive. And so that really tells us they're more willing to be tested with these stool samples that can be done in the privacy of your home. You don't have to clear out your bowel for stool with these bowel preps. So it's really important. You know, our message to physicians was that they really need to consider their patients' values. And I'm confident that American physicians do the same, is that patients' values have to really be considered. And as you talked about, if a patient's not going to do the test, there's no point in recommending that test.
Right. Well, in the United States, the problem is twofold. We're a very litigious nation, and we have standards of care. And if someone develops colorectal cancer, and their doctor did not force them to get a colonoscopy, then some attorney will tell that person, your doctor failed to provide you with the standard of care, so now we're going to sue your doctor. That's the first problem we have here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Terrible here. Attorneys have taken stupid stuff and destroyed whole industries in the ever widening search to get more money for lawsuits. The other problem is that, so you have fear. on one side. The doctor is afraid. If I don't force you to get a colonoscopy, something goes wrong, I'm going to lose my license, I'm going to lose my practice. It's just easier to force you to get a colonoscopy, number one. Number two, the second thing is that doctors get referral fees. So if you're sending your patient for an $1,800 colonoscopy, you may get $300 kicked back to your practice as a referral fee to send that patient to this specialist. In Louisville, Kentucky, there is a facility. All they do is colonoscopy. It's owned by six practices, six big doctor practices. So they own their own colonoscopy. So now when they send people, they don't have to have a referral fee. They're all making money on the colonoscopies that they're sending. So you have fear on one side and you have greed on the other side. And quite frankly, the patient is the one that is not being served properly. That's how it is here in the United States. I want to take a break. When we come back, I've got more questions. And also, I want to talk about this notion that colonoscopies are completely safe and without concern, because that's not true either. Let's take one quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep? Oh, no. It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its
tracks. You need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Maria Backus, associate professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Calgary. Calgary has great beef, by the way. I've been to Calgary numerous times. The other thing that I have a problem with, the whole colonoscopy angle, like forcing people to get colonoscopies, is that they're not 100% safe. We have people who have perforated walls of their colon that end up very, very sick for a very long period of time. We have people that are actually infected, if infections are implanted. In fact, the Food and Drug Administration had a recall just last year or the year before here in the United States of a specific type of colonoscopy probe instrument, because you can't autoclave it because there's delicate camera parts in it. And there was really no way to truly clean it the way it needs to be cleaned, because it's a flexible device. So it has these joints and crannies and nooks and things like that. And they weren't getting them clean, and they were actually infecting patients by performing these colonoscopies. And when you go in for a colonoscopy, you have to sign an agreement that says that you hold everybody harmless if something goes wrong in your colonoscopy. I think that's just insane. Why even go to that extent when you can do something less invasive, as we've been talking about today?
Right. You know, the harms from a colonoscopy are small, but when they occur to that individual, it's, of course, significant. So you mentioned some of them. They do occur in probably less than 0.1% of patients, mm-hmm. and you mentioned some of them. Perforating a bowel is very serious, and the literature suggests that it occurs in about less than 0.1% of patients, but bleeding is more common, and mm-hmm. the risk of bleeding is about 0.3%. But the important thing that you've mentioned, though, is you want to look at the balance of harms and benefits. So people have always asked us about the differences between, you know, why did we come to a different conclusion than the U.S.? So we use something called the grade system, and that just simply stands for grading recommendations, assessments, and development and evaluation. And we look at four factors. One is the quality of the supporting evidence, and we've already discussed that there's no good trials that say that colonoscopy decreases mortality from patients dying from colorectal cancer. So there's one thing. The second thing is what you're getting at is the certainty about the balance between benefits and harms. Even though those harms are small, we don't really know enough about the benefits. So in Canada, because we have such uncertainty around that, it's one of the reasons we gave it a recommendation against. And the other third feature we look at is values and preferences of patients. And you've already discussed this, is a lot of patients may not want to have a colonoscopy. The fourth thing that we look at is whether or not it's a good use of resources. And in Canada, we have long wait lists, so it may not be at the present time the best use of our resources. So there's some of the reasons why we do have some differences, but you're correct in stating that no test is without harm. But the harms from having fecal blood testing are much less than right. a colonoscopy. So why take that added risk, particularly when we don't know enough about the benefits? So that's the important piece. Now, the second thing, if I can go back, you mentioned about the really key thing about infection control.
Right.
And that's why it's so important that that it's done in a facility. If you're going to have a colonoscopy, or it has to be done in a facility where they have passed quality control standards. It's different in Canada, though, because we don't do colonoscopy for what we call routine screening for low-risk patients. We do it for people that we consider higher risk. So, you know, you've had a previous history of colorectal cancer, you would be screened. But all facilities that have colonoscopies and similarly, as you mentioned, the States, have to go through what we call infection prevention and control standards. So you don't want to just go to anybody who sets up shop for your procedure.
Right. What about the sigmoidoscopy? Is that a less invasive alternative? So let's say you do a fecal occult test and something is discovered. Would the next line of testing be the sigmoidoscopy?
We would recommend the colonoscopy next if your fecal occult blood is positive. A flexible sigmoidoscopy, when you look at the literature, is still considered a screening test. And let me just tell you the differences. Flexible sigmoidoscopy and colonoscopy, they both put a long tube in, as you know, through the anus, looking at the rectum and part of the bowel, and it's got a camera attached to it. The difference, though, is a colonoscopy sees much more of the colon. It looks at all of the colon, whereas a flexible sigmoidoscopy only looks at the lower third of it. The challenge, though, is the colonoscopy requires much more preparation. You have to clean out the bowel of stool. It takes longer, the procedure. You need to be sedated. And in Canada, it requires a specialist to do a colonoscopy. And that's more expensive. In Canadians, they don't pay for it, but the government will pay more for the gastroenterologist. That's the specialist who does these procedures versus a family or primary care specialist. In Canada also, a flexible sigmoidoscopy can be done by what we call nurse practitioners.
Uh-huh.
And so the literature, there's really good literature that says flexible sigmoidoscopy done every 10 years can decrease the chance of you having a colorectal cancer, can catch it early and treat it. The problem in Canada is we don't have easy access to flexible sigmoidoscopy. And so even though we acknowledge that there's great literature to suggest that flexible sigmoidoscopy done every 10 years is a reasonable option, the reality in Canada is that we would expect the vast majority of Canadians to de-screen with stool testing because that's what's available and that's what they're gonna, that's what we know Canadians prefer to have done.
And let's be honest, when they are scoping you, if they don't see a polyp, if they don't see something unusual, they can't say you're gonna get a clean bill of health. But you could take, a fecal occult test or you could, When the Cologuard is proven to be as effective as they're saying it is, take a Cologuard test and perhaps detect cancer even sooner. And now, I mean, this is not just specific to colorectal cancer, but the new Oncoblot test. It's amazing. I mean, you can take an Oncoblot test and it will tell you if you have a tumor or cancer somewhere in your body. They can't tell you where at that point in time, but they know that you got something growing somewhere in your body.
Right. And those are the really promising tests that we consider, you know, not invasive for patients that are really easier to do. So we really are looking forward to see what these studies show. Because those are the promising things, though. If they turn out to be very effective and we know that patients would readily do it, it's easy for them to get a blood test, then that will certainly change the way we look at screening. At this point in time, we don't have that information. But again, this is where we have research gaps, and it'll be really great to see how those studies, what those studies show later on.
So, what is the? So, it sounds like the general consensus in Canada is that physicians in Canada agree with this type of stuff, right? That they feel that this is good. We should do these types of fecal occult tests and non-invasive tests more regularly and with greater frequency, and only save the colonoscopy for when we think we have a high risk issue here. Is that the general consensus in Canada now?
Yes, I would say so. We have provincial agencies that look at screening, and we have territorial screening too. And they're in line with our recommendations, which is to screen all Canadians between the ages of 50 to 74 every 2 years using the stool testing or every 10 years using the flexible sigmoidoscopy. They recommend the stool testing simply because we don't have flexible sigmoidoscopy readily available, particularly in remote areas. And so in Canada, it's a health equity issue, so we wouldn't want to offer something to one person that another person
right.
can't get.
Right, right. Well, I commend you. I commend you for coming out and talking about this, because this is really something that needs to be addressed here in the United States. It's wasteful. It doesn't benefit the patient to force people to go for a colonoscopy. There are more effective, less invasive ways, and quite frankly, less expensive. You know, you compare $1,800 to a high of $5,400. I think the Cologuard test is $500 and something dollars, and I'm sure the insurance companies beat it up and get it down for three. So it's also a more cost effective to take these more appropriate first lines of detection for colorectal cancer. I applaud your agency. I really do.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to add, though, that I find it interesting about the conception that you have, the notion that you have to have a colonoscopy, because if your listeners want to go to the equivalent to our task force, which is the U.S. Preventive Service Task Force, they're an excellent agency, and on their website, they don't actually say that you should have a colonoscopy over one other test. They actually say you can choose fecal occult blood testing, these stool tests, flexible sig or colonoscopy. They do not say one test is better than the other. So it's interesting how the general population has perceived that,
but Dr. Backus, here in the United States, doctors start to call their patients the day they turn 50 and say, "Hey, we've got to get you set up for your colonoscopy." They don't say, "We've got to get you set up for your colorectal cancer screening options." They say colonoscopy. There are radio advertisements on radio stations. You know, if you're over 50, you need to get that colonoscopy. I mean, we are being told in the United States that everybody over 50 needs to have a colonoscopy. Everybody. We're talking about hundreds of millions of people turning 50. Oh, you all need colonoscopies. We're not being told anything else but that. And there's a reason for that. The medical orthodoxy is pushing colonoscopy because it's very, very profitable. Very, very profitable.
Yes, I think you've outlined the reasons well, and you know, we don't have similar situations in Canada. I think for your listeners, though, if this is something that they couldn't afford, I really want them to be encouraged to go talk to their doctors if they're over the age of 50, and if colonoscopy is not something that they want to do, really ask their doctors for testing of their stool for blood.
That's good.
I think that's the major message: is get out there and be screened.
Yes, be screened and be informed. That's
yes,
the important
thank
thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Backus.
It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, so there you have it. Also want to thank Alex Lee for dropping in today, even with the little microphone problems. And, of course, Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour of Science for Humans. Don't forget to check out all things AEFX. Go to superhumanradio.com. We have plenty of banner ads there to introduce you to their products. More importantly, reach out to Dr. Jeff. Go to Ask the Scientist, send him a question, or ask him for some free samples. He loves giving stuff away. And we'll see you about it tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. And thank you for listening today.